Hello.
How's everyone doing? Hey, Ahmed, how are you?
How you
Oh, I know, I'm so excited.
doing? One second there, my mic button was not working. Hi, everybody.
Hey,
Hey,
madam.
Madonna, how's your week?
My week has been great, and I'm actually listening in to the latest conversation by Caitlin. I mean, it's amazing. And I'm also here too, so multitasking. Are you there? Did something happen to my...
Oh, all right. I'm back. I something did happen, but I'm back now.
Oh, cool. I was like, wait a minute. But silence is always good. I love the silence. Not bad.
Yeah, silence can be pretty peaceful sometimes. We only have about an hour today because I have another meeting right at 1:30 that I have to go to and present something at. So, I'd like to just kick this off and get started. Ahmed, can you just give us a little bit of an introduction to yourself and maybe why we're here today?
Yeah, sure, man. Hi, everyone. I am Ahmed Tikiwa. So I am a senior software engineer at a company called Luno, which is a fintech company that is mainly specializes in cryptocurrency. And I am based in Cape Town in South Africa. I have been a software engineer since 2010. And yeah, for a huge part of it, Android became a major thing for me. I like to write Android apps. I'm very passionate about it, as well as contributing to the community as much as possible in terms of writing an app that could help change the community in some way or the other. And I also do tech talks as well as blogging. I love to blog. And yeah, so the reason why we're here today is actually because of one of my apps, actually, that got featured on the Google Developers Dev Library. And yeah, so the goal is to share my experience around that, what the Google Developer Library is actually, because many of us actually don't know actually what it is. And yeah, to actually just let you guys know how you can actually get your apps featured there. On the platform.
Yeah, that's so cool. This is something that I didn't know existed, and I'm really interested to hear about it, especially as someone who likes to have sources of code as examples for the new stuff that's coming out or just best practices. It's always a nice place to have a resource to go and see how someone used one of the tools that Google is promoting. So, yeah, can you tell us a little bit about how you discovered the Google Developer Library and what it is and why you wanted to get your project into it?
Yeah, 100%, man. So I basically developed this app called UpNext TV Series Manager. I built it in 2015, and definitely a passion project. And actually, the whole reason why I got into Android was actually because of UpNext TV Series Manager. So I'm the type of person who loves TV series. I'm ashamedly in love with watching TV series of all sorts. And yeah, so I used to at that time in 2015, I would follow a lot of the US shows. And a lot of them will actually go into production break. And this used to frustrate me a lot because I'm like, no, when is the next episode coming? Surely there needs to be an app where I can find out when the next episode coming. Because at that time, I was basically going to Google and I'll search for that show, scroll down to the Wikipedia page, look at the episode section, and I was like, no, there needs to be an easier way. So I literally wrote an app just so that it could help me discover my shows easily and find out when the next episode would be. Over time, I started adding more features to the app itself. And for a very long time, it was closed source. In other words, I kept the code to myself until last year when I actually was like, you know what? I think it's time that I share UpNext with the world. I share UpNext with the developer community and actually invite other developers to contribute to it and make it bigger, you know, bigger than what it is. So it's got almost 2,000 downloads on the Play Store, and obviously I'd want more people to download it and more developers to actually add more features where others can really just find this to be a really useful application. I basically, while I was developing this, I had the intention of making it open source, but I think many of us have this thing where like, okay, I want to share this, but is it ready? Okay, I'm just gonna add one more feature. And then you add that feature and like, it's not quite ready, you know? So that's kind of what I had, where I always kind of felt that it wasn't quite ready yet. So I had some goals in place, part of it being that to add Jetpack Compose. So to migrate the app to Jetpack Compose was part of my roadmap for the app. And so I focused on that. And while I was busy doing that, I'm scrolling on LinkedIn. And I think this was probably around November last year. I'm scrolling on LinkedIn. And then I come across this post that actually says, do you desire to contribute? Actually, the text is, if you hashtag develop with Google and want to share your open source work, Google Dev Library is looking for you. Submit your favorite project in Android, Flutter, Angular, Firebase, Google Platform, and more. And I was intrigued, you know, but I felt at that time UpNext wasn't quite ready yet, but that became my new goal. I was like, okay, so I'm going to migrate the app, get into an open source state, and I would really like to get this project featured on this platform. At that point in time, I didn't really know what the platform was about. I just, from this LinkedIn post, I was already hooked. I was like, okay, so this is obviously some platform of some sort where Google can actually feature your work. And so I went ahead and actually started researching into this platform, and I was actually astounded by what I discovered. So essentially in 2021, and I remember this because there was a time, I think around mid last year, where open source was the talk of the town. Everybody was talking about open source. Many developers were saying, I want to contribute to open source, but I don't know what open source is. So there was all of this of the people who were already in open source and saying, contribute to open source. Here's a project where you can contribute to. So I kind of got on this bandwagon, and that's part of the reason why I also wanted to make UpNext an open source project. And so Google actually recognized this. They recognized that there was an influx of open source contributions that was happening across the globe. And in particular, they recognized that there were developers around the world who were using Google technologies within their projects and basically didn't quite have a central place to showcase their applications. And so they actually came up with this platform called the Google Dev Library, Google Developers Dev Library, which is basically a highly curated platform that features open source work from developers from around the world. And this open source work is either in a form of a technical project or in the form of a blog, so maybe like a Medium post. And then when it comes to technical project, the languages which, or rather the different frameworks which they support is Android, Angular, Firebase, Flutter, Google Assistant, Google Cloud, and machine learning. So if you have a project in any of these, you can actually submit it to Google and have them actually analyze it. So essentially the platform is Google saying, hey, you've written code in Google, would like to take a look at it, and if we agree with it, we will actually give you a stamp of approval. And that stamp of approval is the being featured on this platform. This is Google actually saying, you are actually doing things the Google way within your project, and we appreciate it. We appreciate that you've written this project with the goal of sharing it with the community. We're gonna give you this platform so that you can share it as well with a wider base. And also, it was built with the intent that other developers, when they come to the site, they actually can come to one central location, like you mentioned earlier, Matt, where you'll be like, okay, I want to learn how to add Compose to my app, or I want to learn how to build a Flutter app in a certain way. You can actually go to the Google Developers Dev Library and find a project based on that criteria and actually be able to learn from it and then apply those learnings within your project, which is the whole goal behind this platform. So currently there are over 450 contributors from around the world who are on this platform, and the curation process is very strict. They're always looking for code that is unique, that is that is efficient and code that actually is well documented as well. So in terms of your README, that type of thing, they're actually looking for all of that. So quality is very important and relevance as well. So if you say your project is a composed project, then it needs to be a composed project when they actually look at it. So at the time, my project wasn't quite ready and I intended on actually submitting it. So this was around November when I came across this post. And so I worked really hard on adding Jetpack Compose, migrating my app to Jetpack Compose to a point where I was like, you know what, I think I'm ready. But I needed to do some certain things on GitHub. And because there are some prerequisites as well, which I can go into, where Google requires you to have these items checked first before you can actually submit. So part of that is having a README that's very well documented. Having a GitHub license is very important. So either an Apache 2.0 license or an MIT license, that's very critical. And then versioning, you need to ensure that you're using the latest versions of software within your project. So if it's an Android project, make sure your dependencies are always up to date. At the time of submission, you need to make sure your dependencies are up to date. For articles, monetization is not allowed. So if your article is behind some sort of paywall or something, then unfortunately it won't be accepted. Currently, they're only accepting English content, I think with the intent of opening it up to more languages. And then most recent, so your content needs to be submitted, needs to be your most recent. So you just basically worked on this, not something you worked on maybe 2 years ago that you're now trying to submit. So it needs to be an active project. So I basically went through all of that and I was like, okay, cool. I think my app is ready and I'm going to submit it. And I actually didn't make it the first time around. So Google actually rejected it, and because I submitted my project as a composed project, and so the feedback they gave me within the email didn't really tell me that, oh, this is where you went wrong. So I actually reached out to them. There's an email that you can, there's a form you can actually complete and to ask for more feedback, and that's what I did. And they gave me nice detailed feedback. They were actually very quick. I think I sent it in the morning and then the afternoon I already had a response. And they said, cool, your app, you're saying that it's composed, but it's actually not quite there yet. So I knew exactly what I needed to do because I'd only partly added compose. And so I went on and started migrating all my screens to compose. And then I resubmitted it, I think maybe 2 or 3 days after that. And then it was finally accepted. So that's how I got the project onto the platform.
Yeah, wow. That is awesome. That is a lot of information. I know Ahmed has put up a blog post about this, which maybe you can tweet out later today. And everyone go follow him so you can read that afterwards. But it covers a bunch of this stuff and like how he went through the process of submission and discovery and all that, which is really awesome. So thank you so much for that excellent answer and doing all that work for others who are interested. Before we continue on, I just want to say if anyone has questions, please request to speak, come up and ask. If you don't want to speak today, just send Madonna or I a DM or tweet at one of us. Doesn't matter, we will get to it and ask for you. Moving on though, Madonna, do you have any questions for Ahmed?
Yes, I think I had a question, and my question actually, I was wondering, I think you've mentioned this, but maybe I didn't catch it. I was wondering, when you were contributing, did you use GitHub? And because I know before when I was starting my career, I tried to do a little bit of open source, but then I kept getting a lot of snags due to the bots that would maybe block you before you even create your first PR. So I'm wondering, how was that process for you? And how was it? Maybe you've talked about it, but please just refresh that for me. Thank you.
Oh, no worries, Madonna. So I actually do use GitHub. In fact, when my app was closed source, I was using Bitbucket. And I think because at the time, Bitbucket made it easier for me to create a private repository. And I think GitHub, I think I had to pay in order to have a my own private repository. So I then opted for Bitbucket. So for a very long time, I was using Bitbucket and pushing up my code to there, and then I would deploy it from there to the Play Store. And so last year, I actually had to undergo like an exercise when I decided that I'm actually going to make it open source. I migrated my code. I literally just created a new repository on GitHub. So you can find it under my profile. And yeah, so I pushed up all my code there. And then that's when I started working on the different licensing. So I made sure that I added a license. I made sure that the project itself was public in order for me to be able to say that this is actually an open source project. It needs to actually be public. And yeah, so I set all of that up in terms of the licensing as well as the contributor guidelines. So that's also part of it as well. So there is a checklist that that GitHub has, where you can basically, it'll give you what are called insights in order to know whether your project is actually open source ready. So a description is required, a README is required, a code of conduct, which is just basically an outline of, okay, so you want to contribute to the code here. There are going to be other contributors here as well. So this is these are basically the code of conduct that is required, you know, when you're interacting with each other, when you're actually implementing any pushes and all of that stuff. And then there's actual aspect of contributing. So there's a contributing guide, which you need to also provide. And this basically outlines when people submit their code, how do you want them to submit it? Is there a certain format that you want them to adhere to? And then if people are submitting an issue, you can also create an issue template. And you can also create a pull request template. So I had to basically create all of that. And then there is a site, a page, sorry, on the project itself that you can go. It says insights and then community standards, and it will give you a green bar to say, yes, your project is now ready to be open source.
That's awesome. I wonder if we've lost Madonna. I'm not sure. I think there might be a little glitch on her audio. But yeah, that's awesome. I'm also just curious, can you give us a little bit more of a description on what you submitted the project for and what are some of the tools from Google that you used and highlighted?
Which tool, sorry?
Just any of the ones. I think you mentioned that you have to submit the project with a specific focus. And I know you called out Compose, but did you use any of the other stuff? Or is there like a secondary focus that you chose to keep up with?
Oh, I see. So basically the submission process, which I can just touch on. So the website itself, for anyone who is interested, so it's devlibrary.withgoogle.com. And so the site itself has got on the menu at the top section, there's a submit option, and it will tell you you're about to be redirected to Advoku, an external platform which we use to create submissions to Dev Library. So the Dev Library uses Advoku, which is very common amongst Google developer experts because that's also a platform that's used there as well. So the Dev Library also uses Advoku for this submission process, as well as letting you know if your app has been accepted or rejected. So all the communication is through Advoku. And so when you actually click on submit, then it takes you through to the Advoku platform. And the form itself is a three-step form. So the first part of the form is basically the GitHub project information. Or if you're submitting a Medium article as well. So they'll ask you, so the first part is actually your personal details. They'll ask you, so what type of project you're actually submitting. So in my case, it's an Android project, so that's what I specified. And then it was only, I think, on the second part, or maybe on the third part, that's when it then asked for categories for that particular app itself. So because my app is Android, then it says, okay, so give us some subcategories of what your app focuses on. So one of those categories that I chose was compose. I think I picked UI as well. I can't quite remember all the options that I picked. But yeah, so, oh yes, so it's build/tools, there's compose, there's architecture, there's Kotlin, there's modern Android development, and then there's UI. So I one of the tags that I picked there was compose. That basically classifies your project into a certain bucket. Yeah.
Awesome. That's super cool. So I guess like you don't have to have a fully, you know, touches all sorts of topics project. It can be very focused on what you maybe want to learn in the specific subject matter.
Yeah, exactly. So there's actually, I'm trying to see now if he's still here. I don't see him anymore. So he goes by the name of Sky Doves. That's his handle on GitHub. And so he actually, at this point, if I'm not mistaken, he's got about 5 projects, I think, that are featured on the dev library platform. So that's the beauty of this library. You actually can have more than one project. So I can, once I'm done with UpNext, with my migration and all of that, I can build another project and then submit it to the dev library, as long as it meets those standards. So there is no limit to the number of projects that you can submit to the dev library. There's also no limit to the number of articles that you can submit to the dev library. So it could be anything. So in my case, it is a composed project as the first one that I submitted. The next one could be focusing on a different category, that type of thing. So there's definitely no limits to what you can submit. As long as it uses the Google technologies, you have a good chance of being accepted.
That's awesome. Yeah, and follow the guidelines that they have.
Yes, exactly.
Cool. So what did you think working in open source versus closed source? Because you mentioned you started in closed source and then migrated to open source. And you had to put together this whole contribution doc and everything. One, how has that process been? And two, have you gotten any external contributions?
I have actually. So far it's been very minimal. And I guess just an unashamedly plug, if you do want to contribute, it's open. but basically I did have 2 people reach out so far. There is someone who I actually already tasked with some work, some areas that I thought, okay, he could actually focus on in the compose space within the app itself. And then there was someone else who also reached out with regards to like the data safety rule that's now, or policy that's now on the Google Play Store. So someone actually reached out and actually built a whole data safety thing for the app. And yes, and basically also plugged their library, which helped generate this data safety thing. So yes, I've had people as well who have been forking the project. So that has been nice. And the stars are also increasing, which is also a very nice thing. And so for the before and after, I definitely held on to my code very, very close to my chest. You know, I was quite proud of it, and there was a time I think I was hesitant to actually share it. And the moment I shared it, and the moment other developers started putting stars on this, started forking this project, in fact. I actually have a lot of developers who have cloned the project and not forked it, cloned the project. I'm talking like hundreds who have actually cloned the project. And for me, I saw that as a nice nod to say, okay, your code is actually something that we can learn from, or your code is actually something that that contains features that we can actually implement in our own project and so forth. So that's, that was definitely humbling. And so just knowing that there are developers out there who are benefiting from my code and who can also contribute to it, and other developers who want to be open source contributors can use my project as that as well. So if you want to contribute to open source, UpNext is open and you can contribute to open source if you're looking for a project to contribute to. So just having this very nice community Which, like I mentioned at the beginning, that's my goal. Just having a community of developers who are working together, building software of all sorts that are just helping change the lives of people is really just what I'm passionate about.
That's awesome. That's really, really great. And I know you've been doing a lot in the community recently. I've been seeing you attending a bunch of talks and contributing and blog posts and all kinds of stuff. So I think you're, you know, living your dream, which is really awesome to see.
Oh, thank you, Matt.
Yeah. Definitely go follow Ahmed. I linked a bunch of his stuff that we're talking about in the space above and in the thread on the We're Live tweet. So please go check out that stuff. It's really, really cool. And if you want to start contributing to open source, go check it out and see what's available, if there's any issues or anything. Ahmed's super friendly and helpful and sounds like he's willing to work with you and build that community together.
Yes, I am, and I don't bite.
Cool. Madonna, are you there? Is your mic working?
Yes. I really think maybe it's an issue with my phone. Oh, I'm also seeing another issue now with the notch. Interesting. UI. I mean, Android people, we have to see issues. Okay. So thank you very much, Ahmed, for answering the question that I'd asked. I listened to it. It was pretty nice. And I really appreciate you coming to share with us, because actually, the moment you shared it, I thought you became a GDE, but then it was about Google Developer Libraries. And I was like, wow, this happened. That's pretty amazing. It's another way somebody can definitely gain more experience. And I think it also, in your resume, it definitely is good, right? I mean, just thinking, it should be good.
I didn't get that, sorry.
So, like, when you're applying, like, do you add that to your resume?
Oh, yes, actually. In fact, they even mentioned it. They wrote a blog post. The Google Developers Library team actually wrote a blog post. And I think, an expertise filter. Trying to find it now. Oh, with your contributions at one place under the author page, you can use it as a portfolio for your work while simultaneously increasing your chances to become the next Google developer expert. So that's also part of the goals, I guess, or the perks that come with being part of this platform. So you get visibility, because let's say your project is on GitHub and maybe you don't have that many followers on GitHub. So this can be also a platform that can help you increase your following. People can actually have a nice visibility of your project, as well as other projects that you've worked on, because you can actually build a portfolio like they're mentioning. And then it's a kickstart to a beginner's open source contribution journey, like I mentioned earlier. So like in my project, it's open source. You can contribute to it and actually say, hey, I actually did contribute to open source. And then the recognition as well, because this actually comes from Google saying, Madonna, your code is great and we would like to feature it. And that is a very nice stamp of approval, with Google actually saying you're doing things right, keep it up, you know? So yeah, those are part of the benefits of being on this platform.
Thank you for sharing. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. I'm just looking through the website now that is up, the one that I linked above, the devlibrary.withgoogle.com in the Android section. And there's just so many projects that I recognize, but I just had no idea that this existed. So thank you for contributing to this and then coming up and sharing all this information with us.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Yeah. So I think when I actually joined, there were about maybe 200. I may be off by the numbers there, but the list wasn't that many. And so within the past 2-3 months or so, it's actually grown. And there are over 450 contributors on this platform. And the Android list is just growing and growing and growing. And I love that. I love the fact that there is Android. There's also other platforms as well. And you can just go and So I'd like to learn how to add compose. So like I mentioned, Skydevs, he's one of those developers who's built all sorts of projects tailored around certain concepts. So if you want to learn how to add compose to your project, for instance, or if you want to learn how to add animations in a certain way, he's actually written it. I think there's a project called Pokédex, which he also created as well. So there are a whole bunch of projects here that you can just go and be like, okay, I want to learn Android. I want to learn how to do this. And you can actually just learn it. So I'm one of those people where documentation needs to be coupled with a tutorial or a project. So because that's how I find that I learn better. So the documentation and as well as the tutorials and stuff, I feel they're a starter, but when I actually have a hands-on project that shows me step by step, oh, so this is how I do it. So this is how I'll define my builder Gradle. Oh, this is how I'll define my different folder structure. So basically creating my architecture. Also, this is what clean architecture is about. So that type of thing, when I actually look at a project, then I can see how it's actually written, I can easily understand the documentation better because the two of them are tied together. And that's the intent behind the dev library, because you should be able to go there and learn from what's there and implement it in your own project.
That's awesome. What a great resource. I hope everyone goes and bookmarks this right now, and when they need to look something up, they can go and find GitHub search or something and peek through some of these free examples of how to do stuff. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'm not seeing too many questions come in, but I have a bunch more because I'm just super interested and curious in everything that you're working on, Ahmed. So I know that you have been, I mentioned this earlier, giving a bunch of talks and blog posts and tutorials and things. So I'm wondering, like, what motivates you to do that, and how do you find your content to write about?
Ha. The million-dollar question. I'm just kidding. So I basically came up with this thing where I think someone actually mentioned it at one point, and that has become my motto. Because at that time I was struggling and I was like, you know what, I'd really like to contribute to the community, but I don't know where to start. And so someone actually mentioned it. It's like, okay, what are you currently working on right now? And then I mentioned it. It's like, okay, did you experience any issues like developing? I was like, yeah, I actually did, you know, and like then write about that, you know. So that's actually where it all started, where I would take a scenario, and I'm basically maybe working on a feature at work or working on a feature in Up Next or whatever project that I'm working on, and I encounter an issue. And many of us probably know this, where you would go onto Google and search for this item, and maybe 2, 3 hours you're searching and searching, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. I think I found the issue, found the solution. And you try and implement it, and it's not it. And maybe you end up spending even more time. Eventually, you get to a point like you solve it, you finally figured out what the issue was, and you know the exact journey that led you to that solution. And that is what the developer community wants to know about. And that is what I then started doing, where I would encounter something and then I'd write about it and I'd document it from top to bottom. So this was the thing that I was experiencing. This is what I went and I researched, and this is how I implemented the solution. And this is how you can do it within your app. And when I started doing that, I actually also started seeing the developer community appreciating these nuggets of wisdom that I was sharing with them. And that's how I started contributing more to the community, because I saw that there was a need for that type. And the same thing goes with the talks that I give. So like in my case, there are a lot of developers, right, who know that. So who know about Compose? Jetpack Compose is the best thing right now that is within the Android sphere. And for a year now, developers have been trying to implement it within their apps. So actually start from scratch. So you have a lot of developers who are starting from scratch and who are using Compose. But then you got those developers who have got existing apps and like, okay, so I'd like to add Compose. And many of them have the misconception that, okay, so if I want to add Compose, I'm going to have to rewrite my entire app. And that's obviously a misconception because you don't have to rewrite your own app. There are two approaches. There's a bottom-up approach and there's a top-down approach. Bottom-up approach talks about, you know, changing a fragment to Jetpack Compose. Then all the other approaches actually starting off with little components, so maybe a button or certain things within a screen that you then migrate to Jetpack Compose. So there are ways to add Compose to your app, and that's actually the gradual approach, which Google actually recommends that you do. And so I then started implementing Compose into UpNext, as I mentioned earlier. And I started using this gradual approach where I wanted to go screen by screen. So slowly convert every single screen within my app to Jetpack Compose. And when I actually did that, I was like, okay, this could actually be content. This could actually be something other developers might want to know, because many of them don't actually know that you can migrate an app to Jetpack Compose. They think your XML code and the Jetpack Compose cannot coexist, but they can because of interoperability. So interoperability makes it possible for your XML code to coexist with your Compose code. And I then built a talk around that, and that's the talk I've been giving actually all across Europe. I'm really thankful to the opportunities I've been given to be able to share that. And that's pretty much where my content stems from, where it's an experience, it's something I'm going through, and I'm like, you know what? I think someone, at least one person, would like to know about this.
Awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much for that. We do have some questions coming in. Looks like Kudzai has requested to speak. So Kudzai, how are you today? And thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, guys. I joined the meeting late. I'm working on an Android app. It's a dating app, actually. So I'm using XML, Kotlin and XML. So I wanted to migrate to Jetpack Compose, but I didn't know how, and actually I'm one of those people who were thinking that maybe I have to start from scratch. Do you have like some links or some resources which you can recommend for me, which will help me like integrate Compose within my app?
Yeah, 100%, man. So, and I like that. Basically, you're confirming that there are actually scenarios where you think that you have to rewrite your app, and trust me, you don't have to. So Compose has got this thing called Compose View, and it's actually something that you can add to your XML, and you then basically create a composable, and your composable will then be injected into this Compose view. So that way you can have your fragment XML file that's now hosting Compose content inside of it. So Compose UI content inside of it. And all of this, I actually learned it through the Google Developers website. So I'm just going to look it up for you. So on the Jetpack Compose site, I'm just opening it up quickly so that I can give you the exact URL. So on the Jetpack Compose website, they've got a documentation section where they actually talk about how to migrate an existing application to Jetpack Compose. So there's a tutorial. And yeah, so what I did was I went onto the Android developers website, I went into the Compose section, and then there are also two other resources which I used. So the first one is a resource by Katalin Gita. I'm wondering if he's actually in the call. No, he's not. So Katalin Gita actually created a course on Udemy, and this is what I'll actually recommend first. So read through the Compose documentation on the developer website. Then, if you're the person who actually prefers watching tutorials, watching videos in order to learn Jetpack Compose, then these two resources are the ones that I would recommend. So the first one is the course by Katalin Geter on Jetpack Compose, which you can find on Udemy. Then the second one was written by another course by Paolo Discione, which is a very extensive course. So that one has got a lot more content, and that one will take you step by step. It's got a whole bunch of apps that you will create in Jetpack Compose. So the reason why I'm saying all of this is because you need to have a foundation where you completely understand Jetpack Compose, what it's about, how it all works. Because trust me, XML and Compose are two totally different concepts, because the XML way of things is called the imperative approach. And now Jetpack Compose uses what is called the declarative approach. So it's a whole new way of writing apps. So once you understand Jetpack Compose, then you'll be able to integrate it nicely into your app. So I would recommend looking at those resources. You can follow me on Twitter, and then I can send you all these links that I mentioned now in the DMs.
Okay, thank you so much, Brother Amin. I've just followed you now. I'll be okay. Looking forward to the resources. Thank you so much.
No worries, man.
Okay. Awesome. Also, looks like we have another speaker, Daud. KT, how are you? Maybe they're having some mic problems, but go ahead, Kudzai.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yep, we hear you now.
Okay, I started learning Android development last year with Kotlin. I started learning XML. XML. So what do you advise for someone like me? Should I learn XML, or I should transition to Jetpack Compose?
So you're saying you know XML, or do you want to learn XML?
I know XML already, but do you think I should learn Jetpack Compose? I'm still learning, actually. I started learning last year. I don't have any professional experience yet developing professional app. So what do you advise? Should I stop learning XML, or I should move straight to Jetpack Compose?
It actually depends. So are you currently intending on working as an Android developer?
I didn't hear you clearly.
Are you intending on working as an Android developer as well? Because you said you just started, so maybe you're looking at actually getting a position as an Android developer at a company somewhere, right?
Okay, I intend to become an Android engineer. That's my intention.
Yeah. So because of that, I would say there's no harm in learning both ways, because the reason why I say that is because currently companies are still trying to migrate to Jetpack Compose. So there are companies that are still using the XML route. So maybe there's a company that you would apply to right now, and they're not using Jetpack Compose yet, but they're using XML. So for you to be able to understand the XML code, you would need to learn XML and that way. But Jetpack Compose is the new way of writing UI, is recently introduced by the Android team last year. And so it is the new way that is recommended to be adopted. So, which is why I would say learn both. So if you're intending on wanting to follow that path as an Android developer, learn the XML so that you can learn what it's called the imperative approach, how that was actually done, and all of that, understanding all of that. But then also understand Jetpack Compose, what it's about, what does declarative UI actually mean, all of that information, and then you actually be able to write apps in using Jetpack Compose.
Yeah, I echo that. I think it's valuable to learn both, because any app that you end up working on won't be fully composed yet, so you'll need to know how to navigate some of the XML views.
Thanks, Matt.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for joining us, and thanks for the question. All right. We have another question that was tweeted at us, and this is for Ahmed. He's wondering if you could talk about the quality and testing while you're uploading PRs to your Up Next project. So maybe it's about, like, if you are taking external contributions, how do you keep the code quality at the level that keeps this project in the Google Dev libraries? And then how much testing do you have to handle in the project to be included?
Yeah, that's a good question. So now that the app is actually being migrated to JPEG Compose, actually maybe a huge part of it is actually using JPEG Compose. Compose also has a new way of writing tests, and this is also on my radar. So if you are actually going to be making contributions, and if you can actually include tests, because that's actually how would it actually help improve the code base itself? So increase the code coverage, the test coverage, rather. So when you include your UI changes, your composables, to also include tests as well as part of that. Also, you need to really adhere to the way the project is actually structured. So try and pay attention to how things are written, how the different layers are. So if it's the domain layer, if it's the repository layer, if it's the UI layer, try to adhere to the way it's actually written there. And if I do see that it is actually adhering to that, then I will accept your PR. I'll also test it on my side before I merge it, just to make sure that the code is actually sound.
Cool. Sounds good. Do you have any like automation to do some sort of like code coverage, like static analysis or anything?
Currently just lint. So that's all part of my radar now, where there are a whole bunch of things which I want to add in. So testing is at the top of my list right now. So the Compose based testing, which uses Espresso. So I would like to add that in. Yeah, and then all these static analysis tools, that's actually part of it. And I'd also like to integrate a proper CI/CD pipeline where I don't have to manually deploy this thing to the Play Store. So I'd either like to use Fastlane to do it, or maybe GitHub Actions to help with it as well. So that's all part of what I have as part of the roadmap, which I'm hoping the community to be able to come in and actually assist in having all of these things in place.
All right. Well, yeah, there you go. There's another potential open source contribution if you're interested in CI/CD pipelines and working with GitHub Actions or something. Reach out to Ahmed and see what you can get done. Awesome.
Yes. Thank you.
Madonna, do you have anything for us?
I think all I'm just going to say is pretty great work, Ahmed. I think you've shared quite a lot, and I mean, I'm not surprised, but that contribution is pretty amazing. So definitely, if you're not following him, please make sure you do. And I think we do have a speaker on our next talk too, on actually Jetpack Compose. And also, I mean, I think it's a secret, Matt. Is it a secret, or should I announce it already?
I don't know if we've actually officially nailed down the time, so let's hold off for now.
Okay, cool. That sounds great. Because I did notice that we have so many questions on Jetpack Compose, because it's pretty hot topic.
Yeah, for sure. I am going to need to get wrapping up soon so I can prepare for what I've got coming up. But thank you everyone for coming. If you have more questions for Ahmed, please reach out to him on Twitter. Go follow him on Twitter. Follow Madonna and me to see who our next speaker is and when that talk is going to happen, because it will be about Jetpack Compose and will be very exciting. But Ahmed, thank you so much for coming on today and talking with us and explaining this whole process and this excellent resource of libraries and blog posts that I had no idea about.
Thank you so much, Madonna and Matt. I really appreciate you guys inviting me here and being able to share my journey with everyone else. I'm beyond words to actually just say thanks. Thank you so much.
Yeah, anytime you want to come up and speak. I know you've been pretty frequent listener and ask question asker, so come join us whenever you want. We love having you up here.
Oh, I'm signing to that.
Awesome.
Cool. Thank you.
That's going to be it for us today. Thanks again, Ahmed. Thanks for everyone who came up and asked a question. And we will see you next time.
Yes, and have a good luck, Juan. Good luck, Matt.
Oh, thanks. Good Friday. Happy Friday, everyone.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it, guys. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Pleasure, Kuzai. Okay, cheers, everyone.